Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
So let's set this up properly here.
Okay.
Melissa Carter doesn't ask questions in interviews. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter how big or how small the celebrity is. We have somebody in studio or on the phone, Melissa ducks out.
Yeah, I am not the person or the personality that wants, you know, I'm not like a star chaser or somebody who, like, I don't know, glorifies celebrities a whole lot. So it's surprising to me that when we do interview celebrities, I choke. Like, I get intimidated. I can't think of any, I mean, I can't form a sentence. And the guys in here are have great interviewing skills, and I just don't. And so they'll ask a question, I think, God, that was so well done. And then I thought, how can I follow up with that? And I'm in my own head the entire time, and then the end result is I haven't said a word. So we got this opportunity for Leonardo DiCaprio, whose movie Inception actually opens today. And
this is the one about dreams. I think I saw the commercial for it last night.
Yes.
Like, he goes into people's dreams and manipulates them or something.
Yeah. Yes. He actually, I think, solves crimes. He's like a dream police. You know, he solves crimes by going into people's dreams. And so we had the opportunity to interview him, but it was going to be yesterday afternoon. And so I had responded, you know, that I am available, but it ends up that everybody else in the room had previous appointments they couldn't break. And so I was ironically the only one left. And I say ironically because of my lack of, you know, ability to talk to celebrities.
And you can't pass up a Leonardo DiCaprio interview. Somehow, some way, we were going to have to get his voice on this morning show. So if it wasn't, someone was going to have to do something.
Right.
A Leonardo DiCaprio seriously comes along once every 10 years. And he's that, untouchable.
And that's why I said, you know what, guys, I can do it. And they're like, Melissa, you can do it. I'm like, okay,
do
I can
it.
Do
you
it.
You can do it.
I'm going to do it. And so I
Wendy said you couldn't.
Well, that's true.
No, I've got your back. I believed in you.
So I stayed yesterday to conduct this interview, which took place about 1:30 yesterday. And I was so nervous I didn't have lunch beforehand. I couldn't eat.
Really?
It's so stupid. And I couldn't eat beforehand. And so anyway, and I had a few minutes with them, so... I have to say, and I told Bert this off air, I stole a Bert tactic in order to get through this interview. So
you asked him what he did wrong?
Thank you in advance.
You just want to tell me right now what you did wrong?
No. So I thank you in advance, Bert, for helping me get through this interview.
Okay. All right. So that said, this happened yesterday.
Yes.
And this is the first time any of us in here are hearing it.
Yes.
Melissa Carter with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the Bert Show.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Now, I know it's the Bert Show, but Bert is unavailable today. So actually, it's just me, Melissa. So I want to welcome you to the show and say congratulations on your new movie, Inception, opening up this weekend.
Thank you very much, Melissa. I appreciate that.
Now, before we talk about the movie, I do want to mention something I saw in the news today that made me think about you, because not only are we dealing here in the South with the BP oil spill in the Gulf, but also NASA talking about how 2010 is the hottest year on record. And I know that you've been an activist with the environment and global warming. And I'm curious, as an A-list celebrity, is it harder or easier to be an activist for the environment?
Well, you can never really control what other people think or their other people's impression of you. You can only, you know, make a choice in your own life and say, I want to be active with a certain issue or not. And I've really chosen to become proactive in speaking out about environmental issues, not because I feel like I'm going to really change anyone's mind, but it's simply for me. I want to get more involved and more invested in trying to help out in any possible way I can. And if any attention can be brought to issues that I think don't get nearly enough attention in today's day and age, that's enough of a reward for me. But when I wasn't wanting to be an actor, I wanted to be a marine biologist, and I wanted to work with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And do things proactively with the environment. So as soon as the acting thing sort of got settled down, I got to be able to work with different NGOs, different organizations around the world that are doing some pretty incredible things to help preserve this thing that we all share.
Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio here on The Burt Show. Now, you are considered one of the greatest actors of our generation, and I know that you've worked with several other actors of various generations, so I have a list of four in front of me, and I wanted to name their name, and then you tell me the first thing that comes to mind when I mention them. First off is Jack Nicholson.
Wildly insane, fantastic, and brilliant. He is just an incredible free spirit on camera, and, you know, really one of the most distinct actors of my time or any other time, and he's a cinematic legend.
Mm-hmm. Ben Kingsley.
The perfect gentleman, mm-hmm. Also incredibly talented, and wonderfully collaborative with the people he works with, and incredibly caring about everyone around him. I have nothing but wonderful things to say about him.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
The consummate professional. The man who commits himself to his craft unlike anyone I've ever seen. And his commitment is completely whole in every sense of the word. He never strays from that commitment. Mm-hmm. And the man is really, I mean, he should write a book on what acting is about, because somewhere down the line he learned to do this unlike anyone I've ever met.
And I'm going to go back a few years, Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, I consider still a great friend and also one of the great actors of his generation as well, and has embodied some incredibly insane characters and continues to do so and continues to stretch every time I see him.
And I'm going to add one name to the list, Ellen Page.
Mm. Ellen Page, a sweetheart who, when she says a line, you believe everything that comes out of her mouth. She is incredibly earnest and doesn't know how to say a line without a huge amount of honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't many actors or actresses out there that have that ability exactly that same way, so she's fantastic.
And of course, Ellen Page starring with you in Inception, again opening up this weekend. So tell us about the movie.
Well, I play the character Dom Cobb in this film, and I take the audience through the dreamscape in four different stages of the human subconscious. And we sort on in this film, we're infiltrating the human mind in order to incept an idea as opposed to extract one, which is what I traditionally do within the dreamscape. And we're trying to carry off this sort of mission to get me back home to the real world with my real family, because I'm haunted by my past. And the film, for my character, in a way, is like a cathartic journey into my own mind as well, because the closer we get to our mission, the closer I have to come to terms with my own demons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens towards the end of the film. But I don't want to give it all away, of course.
Well, now, Inception was written and directed, of course, by Christopher Nolan, who also did Dark Knight. And one last question that satisfies my geekness. Now, of course, Dark Knight made about Batman. Is it true that you had a chance to play a superhero yourself?
Yeah, I've had those chances, yeah.
Which ones?
there were a few back in the day. I suppose the one that springs to mind would be Anakin Skywalker. I had an opportunity to do that, but I guess that isn't a superhero. He's more of a villain. And a few more here and there.
Mm-hmm. And but you decided, was it Spider-Man was one of those two? Is that rumor true?
That was an opportunity at one point I had before Toby came on board. There was talk of doing that with James Cameron was actually attached at one point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Leonardo DiCaprio, thank you so much for joining The Burt Show, and congratulations on Inception opening up this weekend, and good success to you.
Thank you very much.
Good success to you. What the f*** was that?
Good job,
Nicely done. Way to keep it together.
Yeah. How do I end this?
How did you feel about it when you got to? You must have been so relieved. Like,
I love the end.
It's probably, I don't know if it was instant relief. It was more of just, I don't know. It took a minute for it to kind of, for my nerves to kind of go away. Because, oh my God, I don't know why that intent. I was nervous sitting here listening to it. Play back.
You did a really good job. Well, his voice, as soon as you hear his voice, you know, it's like, wow, I'm talking to Leonardo. This is really Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's cool. I just watched Shutter Island the other night, and you were in it, and you were cool. So, anyway.
He is such a cool guy. I was telling these guys yesterday, I have 2 degrees of separation from Leonardo DiCaprio. Only a surf instructor I had in Costa Rica was Leonardo DiCaprio and Bar Raffaele's surf instructor also. At least that's what he said. Mm-hmm. And he said that they were two of the most down-to-earth and cool people he has ever met in his life. Take out that's the celebrity awesome. Part of the whole thing. They were just open and cool and just really, really nice.
And see, and Bert and Jen could have totally gotten into a conversation with him about his girlfriend. And it just was way past my comfort level to try to get into his personal life. So that's why. Great job, Melissa.
But, well, you know what? The next interview will be better, Melissa. Good success to you.
Great job.
Nice
that
job.
Was cool.
Excellent.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're on The Bert Show.
Let's get producer Carl in here. Each one of our producers has their own at mic music. Every time they come on, they got something to tell us. We play their at mic music. And producer Carl here, man, if you're a father of a boy, always a little bit nervous about how your son is going to handle physical confrontation. Because bullying is going to happen, man. It's going to happen. And you're always a little bit nervous about what's going to happen the first time, right?
Right, right. And you always, even as a baby, when they're on the playground at 3 years old, when he get pushed away or some kid takes his toy, you kind of stand back and watch, is he going to take the toy back? Or you want to see is he going to be able to handle it right? The right way or not. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, as coming up, I'm from a divorced family. My dad used to talk to us over the phone. He wasn't really there, but he used to always say, a woman can't raise no man. He used to always, that rings out in my ears all the time. And I never understood what he meant by that. Because I used to always wonder, you know, my mom's doing a great job. You're not here, you know. So now it comes to me now. And what he meant by that is that as a man, a woman won't necessarily be conscientious about teaching certain things that men kind of, you know, kind of, you learn things from a man that you don't necessarily learn from a woman. And now I
like
get
what?
It.
Like to be tough?
Exactly.
Like you want your kid to be tough?
For instance, I was telling my son one other day that to look a guy in his eye because it asserts respect. And Michelle, my wife, was like, oh, I never thought about that. And now she's always heard look someone in the eye, but it wasn't. She wasn't aware of to teach her son that. Mm-hmm. So now I understand that a woman can't raise no man. And I'm always screaming at around the house. But
I just got to interrupt you for just 1 second because this is a point of discussion in my house also.
Oh, really?
My 7-year-old Hayden is around his mom, his grandmother, and his female babysitter most of the time.
Right.
And I see the way he's being raised. They're there with him more than I am. Their slice of the Hayden pie is more than me. And I'm getting very concerned.
Definitely. You have to be.
Very concerned.
Why?
Because
I agree.
Because they coddle him. Mm-hmm. And I think my kid is growing up soft.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can do what everybody else in the country does and just drop him off at Carl's house for
a
summer.
Yeah, I might do that too.
Boot camp, baby.
Yeah.
Carl's boot camp. Every time we talk to Carl, he's got a cousin and nephew, a sister, friend, somebody coming in to spend time with him.
It's at such a point now, and my kid by nature is sort of passive. Mm-hmm. And I have had the same view that you just said, like on the playground, you see how they deal with other people. He's the smallest one, and as by nature, he's starting to get picked on a little bit, just a little bit pushed around and stuff, and I've watched the way he handles it, and his mom has preached, you come to me or you go to the principal,
right?
And that's not my camp. My camp is, at some point, you got to take care of yourself. So what we're going to do here is Hayden is taking karate as soon as he gets back to our beach from our beach house.
Mm-hmm.
So he will at least have the confidence to defend himself if that happens.
Why don't you sign him up with one of those Marines we talked to earlier?
Punch
him in the face. You might be scared to take a punch right now. Just got to clear that up.
I totally feel what you're saying right now because he's getting into, like, when you got a 7-year-old, you're getting into those bullying years right there. It just starts happening at 7 or 8, and I am crazy, crazy nervous about it.
So give us like a specific example that's happened with like each of your sons where your wife has handled it, but you would have done something differently. Like and what she did and what you would have done had you been there.
Well, I mean, it started off on mine with as a baby. I mean, I wanted to take control of my son when he was first born, but it came from my mom. Like my mom would tell me, you know, give Nichelle the opportunity to baby her child. But when she reaches when he reaches a certain point, then you can take over. But for instance, she would like when he would fall down. I mean, this is with every woman. He falls down. She runs to him. I mean, as a child, as a baby, she runs to him. I would stand up to see if he's going to look at me to cry, or would he just get up by himself? So I would stand there for a second just to see how he would react.
Handle it, right. And if he was really hurt or not, or just scared.
Definitely. Yeah, if he's definitely hurt, then you definitely want to tend to him.
Carla's speaking for 80% of the male parents, the fathers right now, I'm telling you.
100%, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's guys just don't have, it sounds, but like the protection is different, I think. Like the guys think the kid is more protected if he dusts himself off after stumbling, where the mom thinks he's more protected if she runs over and picks him up and sees if he needs an ice pack and a Band-Aid and a kiss on his boo-boo.
Exactly.
Carl and I have talked about this before. Women will show love by comforting, and I think what dudes do with their sons, at least, I can't speak for daughters, is we will show love by preparing them for the real world.
But survival.
I do want to say that it's not representing every woman, because I think women that have been raised by tough fathers have similar attitudes because Millie Pete doesn't have this attitude of coddling, and she didn't have the attitude of, you know, it was the don't start the fight, but you finish it, just like my father had that attitude. So I just want, but I do think it obviously is a male influence on all these, you know, mindsets. Yeah. But yeah, I think there are definitely some women that agree with you and not over coddle their kid.
And I definitely think that even though that there's a, like, my mom's a real tough cookie. She used to punch me when I turned, you know, she stopped whooping me. She started punching me.
She was doing that Marine thing.
Oh, yeah,
we're doing an exercise where we teach each other to take a punch, but you're not allowed to touch me.
Right.
Bam!
But there's certain things that she just never gave me that I had to actually pick up on the streets or from other guys. So the thing is, I had a buddy of mine. He has a 13-year-old now. And this is like, it's getting real sticky, especially he's up north. He's in Chicago. So, you know, you have to deal with gangs. It's a lot of, you know, it's a little bit more sticky. So he's a 13-year-old boy. He had his cousin was with him, which is 14. So they walk into the store and they get approached by 5 other guys. So I don't know exactly how it went down, but I don't know if he kind of like said something smart or whatever, but long story short, the guys jumped on both of them and beat them up. Didn't hurt them too bad, maybe a busted nose or whatever. But long story short, when I was in the car with my buddy, he got the phone call from his wife. I heard her just going off in the background. I heard him asking key questions. What's going on? Is he all right? How many? How old? After he asked those key questions, he realized that his son was fine. His son would be fine. And he kind of said, okay, well, whatever. I'll be home in a minute. His wife just went off on. I heard this all in the phone on the other side of the car. His wife was concerned that he wasn't that concerned to kind of rush to the house and pick him up and tend to him and all that. Mm-hmm. His whole thing was he's going to have to take his lumps and deal with it. And I'm like, you know, that's really what it is. Now, of course, when it comes to gangs and all that other stuff, you want to be careful about it and all that.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But you definitely want your son to know that daddy won't be around, mommy won't be around all the time. How are you going to handle adversity?
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Burt Show.
Carl struck a nerve here, and I think it was the initial comment. It was the advice that was passed on to you.
Yeah.
Was the exact wording on that?
My dad always told me coming up, woman can't raise no man.
Ooh.
Woman can't raise no man.
Now we're gonna see how.
Now don't get me wrong,
I think we're
ladies.
See how tough you are right now.
Oh my goodness! You know, let me have it, ladies. Now don't get me wrong. Now there's definitely some balance that's needed. But go ahead, I'm ready.
What do you mean by balance needed? Like, there's got to be a soft side, but you have to tough.
Yeah, like
up
me and
also.
Melissa were talking about, mm-hmm. there has to be a balance. Like, I teach my son how to be tough, but I teach him how to be tender towards a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there has to be balance.
In his relationship, he's got to be able to be vulnerable to his woman, you
right,
know?
Right, right. Somewhere.
Here is Tracy. Good morning, Tracy. You are on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
Good. Well, you make me sound like I'm already a zealot or something. No, I totally agree on one hand that parents can coddle their kids, and our philosophy was just like Carl's with our two children. It's like, you know, they fall down, you give them a second. If they're really hurt, they're going to keep crying and whatnot, but, you know, you let them figure it out. But there were, and again, I can't cite where I read it, but there had been some articles that had come out that we were actually doing a disservice to our sons by not still being a little soft with them, especially when they are younger. And I think Carl finally clarified it. I think it needs to change over the years. But when little boys are little, they do need that warmth and that a little bit of the coddling. But yes, eventually all kids, male or female, mm-hmm. need to be taught to figure how to deal with adversity. So I don't think it's a total gender thing. And I think that, you know, I can't tell if it was Melissa or Jen that said it, that we need to make sure that we teach our men to be vulnerable, because mm-hmm. as women, I don't want a big old, I mean, I want him to defend our family, and I want him to stick up for me, but I don't want Mr. Tough Guy all the time.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I think that when you mentioned the study and stuff, I think we've gone overboard. Like, my father is totally different than some of these, let's say, we've talked about some of the interns that worked here that are in their late teens, early 20s. Like, men are different, and I don't know whether it is good or bad. I think that we've kind of gone overboard on making men... I don't know what the word is. Bert's word would be soft, you know, like and unable to make decisions, unable to mm-hmm. have ambition, unable to ask a woman out on a date. I mean, I think there's a total difference between generations, and I think we need to meet somewhere in the middle.
Guys call it sack up.
Right, right.
I think for check. A modern society, parents need to do that with their little girls, too. You don't want to raise little girls that aren't tough enough to take care of themselves, either. You don't want little girls to, you don't want to raise your daughters not to right. be tough, right. not to be able to go out, get their own job, make their own money, create their mm-hmm. own life, have their right. own personality, and not have to, you know, wait for some Prince Charming in a fairy tale to come take care of them.
Yeah, we call that badging up.
So it's like I say that you got to coddle your babies when they're babies, but when they become kids, you got to be tough on both boys and girls to make them independent little people. You're raising little people.
Yeah, it would be. I think it would be a much. It would be much more difficult with girls, because I think I would handle it differently. My mm-hmm. little girl falls down, I think I probably would be right there to pick yeah. her right up. Yeah. Whereas if I see Hayden or I see Hollis, I can spot the danger before mm-hmm. it even happens, and mm-hmm. I have to make a quick decision. How bad is he going to get hurt here?
Right.
Do I want to stop this, or do I want to let him fall down and take his lumps and try to figure out how to recover himself? I am constantly on the playground, constantly making that decision. Carl here said he was telling us a couple of minutes ago that he sort of lives by this philosophy that you got to keep your kids tough, especially your boys. Keep them tough, you know? And a lot of women are calling up, and he's getting a lot of sort of bounce back on it. And now some single moms are calling up going, hold on a second.
And you know what? First of all, let me say this. There's nothing hands down that I hold closer to my heart than a single mom, because I was raised by one. Now, go ahead.
He's just putting his seatbelt on. That's what that was. He's like, oh, the road's going to get a little curvy and hilly. Let me put my seatbelt on.
Leah, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey.
Enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I just wanted to contribute that for a good while, I was a single mom of three. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Carl. Men do bring things to the table that a woman doesn't, but I really believe it takes two, and that's why God created that way, that it takes the two different personalities, the two different characters to raise the whole child. But with my first child, I would run to him, and, I mean, it'd be a little prick finger, and he figured out quickly that, oh, I get a lot of attention from this. And so the mm-hmm. drama was created mm-hmm. instead of me sitting back, like Carl said, waiting to see, okay, is this major or is this something he can figure out himself?
Right.
With mm-hmm. the second son and my daughter, I'd even act like I wasn't even paying attention. It was amazing how fast they'd get up, scrape it off. Well, with my oldest son,
drama. Right. I mean, it would be a prick's finger and you think his head had been blown off. Because I said that. Running to him. But I think Carl's right.
And that's a good point. How many, Bert, Jeff, how many guys do you deal with that's drama kings? I mean, you know, when you're creating a little drama king, like, Jen, you asked me, what does my wife do that I would have handled differently?
Mm-hmm.
Band-Aids. My wife is smacking on a Band-Aid on everything. And I'm looking at it like, what's this?
If it was socially acceptable, I'd come over there and I'd kiss you on the lips. I have the same conversations with Stacey all the time. Now my kid gets a little scratch. There's right. no blood. He's asking for a Band-Aid.
Band-Aid.
What?
Gauze wrap. Come on now.
A sling. Dude, you stubbed your towel. I want a sling.
Hey, Misty, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, I actually agree with Carl. I've noticed, I'm in my later 20s, but I've noticed a lot of the guys that I grew up with, of course, my husband's different. He's from New York. Pretty much had to grow himself. But my husband, but the guys that I grew up with, they were so babied by their mothers that they can't even make their own decisions. They wait around for the women to do things for them, tell them what they need to do, when they need to do it, remind them to do things. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I had this. I was telling these guys this yesterday also that I had a situation with Hayden last week where he had to make a decision. I mean, just he had to just pick one of three toys. He earned it. I made him do some chores around the house, so he was stoked. He earned one toy, but he had three in mind that he wanted. And damn, the kid could not make a decision to where he was like tearing up, crying, and blowing up about it.
Right.
You know, so I had to sit him down and say, look, dude, I just want to let you know that sometimes not making a decision at all is way worse than just making a bad decision and moving on.
Right. See, right. I would
have
been.
Was he happy after he with the cigarette lighter, or did he wish he had
his new collection? My gut reaction to that kind of a freak out would be to do what my parents would have done, which is, okay, don't get any toys.
You don't get anything.
Right. Bye-bye. Done. And move on. Well, like, they wouldn't have change their mind on
here's
that decision.
Why I of course, I thought of that, but here's why I couldn't do that, because he earned it.
Yeah,
he did
still.
Chores around the house, right. And I couldn't take that away from him.
And the thing is, what Bert's doing, he's developing that within his child, because sometimes my son does that. He's little, you know, sometimes he whines, sometimes when I don't think it's necessary. But you don't want to man up all the time. Like I say, you need that balance.
Kind
so
of coaching
sometimes
it up.
Yeah, you have to coax him and rub on his hair. I listen, son, blah, blah, blah. You know, as much patience as it takes.
Melissa, you think dudes are pretty soft as a general
Absolutely
rule now.
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, I do. I really do. I was raised by a former drill sergeant army dude, and my mother was raised by a really tough dad, and both men were able to be tough and also loving at the same time. And so, but these were also men that were ambitious, that were very successful, that had determination in everything they did. And I don't see that in guys today. Like, and I'm generalizing. There's plenty, you know, we've talked to some military guys that called up who, you know, and they, I give total props to because they have ambition. Sometimes the military can teach you all that. But I really do. Some of the young men that I see that are in their late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, I'm like, you are so different than what I was raised with. Even my, you know, the person talked about their friends, even my friends growing up, the guys, more like my dad than these guys today.
Absolutely. Jessica. Good morning, Jessica. You're on the Burt Show. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
I have to completely agree with Carl. I'm sorry. But my nephew is about to be 5 years old. My niece is 9. My niece is way tougher than him. Mm. I don't know why. And he's being raised by his mom, and they live with my mom. So his mom and his grandma and his sister, he's surrounded by women.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a crybaby. I mean, he cries for everything. He's known for crying when we go places. It's just ridiculous.
I don't blame women. I don't blame women for that, you know? I think nature, women are more coddling than dudes are. You do?
I kind of do, yeah. Yes,
I think women can have the same ideals as guys.
Yeah.
You can toughen up your kids, too.
I mean, mm-hmm. I'm in a that mode that's not going to have a man. I mean, Katie and I were raised the same way, and I have no doubt that we could raise a man not to be a whiner. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't, and I'm obviously, it sounds like we're talking about majority of women here that are doing this, but I'm not one of those women. I don't believe in
so like
in
you're
that.
Saying if the power went out at your house, you would just open the freezer and tell those kids to suck it up.
I wouldn't even open the freezer.
That's what I'm talking about, Melissa.
Power goes out, honey. Uh-uh.
It's not going to work. The freezer's
jumping jacks.
You know what? Yeah. You just stand still for a second. You'll get over it.
Like,
you'll
adapt. You've been holding still for months. About time you learned to swim.
Exactly, right?
This is The Burt Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Burt Show.
Hey, Jen, you want to take us from here?
Yeah, so we were going to talk about the fact that I just got some random advice from sort of an unsuspecting person recently. It's a mutual friend of Bart and I. He is actually the general manager of a car dealership, and I was talking to him recently about my new engagement, and he threw out this little tidbit, and I thought, God, that's really something to think about. And wanted to get y'all's take on it. He said, because my engagement has come quickly. My fiance and I have been dating for 7 months. And so I was kind of talking to him about that or whatever. And he said, well, you know, you're older now. And it's different because you've improved your relationship IQ. And I kind of was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Moved along with the you know, conversation. We went on to do work stuff that we were working on, whatever. And I just kind of kept coming back up in my mind, like, relationship IQ. That's kind of an interesting concept. So I just was wondering, you know, as you get older, do you improve your ability to navigate relationships, you know, specifically romantic relationships, or is it different every single time? And like, do you start over again with somebody new because each person is so unique and different? Or do you really learn how to be maybe more patient, you know, more honest, more, you know, a better communicator through the years or whatever it is, communicating your needs and understanding their needs better, whatever it is. Like, do you really improve your relationship IQ over time?
I think so. I think you do that with everything. Like with every past experience you have, you sort of you always sort of, if you know it or not, you're building off of that in dealing with the current situation, right? It doesn't even matter if it's relationship.
That's kind of my question.
So how could you? Because I don't think you can compartment. I don't think it's even healthy to compartmentalize everything that's happened to you in your past dating history, and just sort of sequester it and not use it for a current relationship.
Right.
So I think common sense is it always goes up.
Well, it depends on if you are aware of your evolvement, because there's some people who get into relationships that aren't good for them that seem to continue to get into those same relationships, that same cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you're somebody that is unaware that you're the common denominator in all of these situations, mm-hmm. then I don't know if your IQ is going up or not. You know what I mean? Or if that's a factor at all.
Hmm. Here is Colin. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
I definitely think that's the case. I mean, every relationship you have, you're going to add on to what you know about people in general. Like, you have a bad relationship, you're going to take from that, and you're not going to do certain things that you did in that. And, like, you definitely grow as a person as you get older. I mean, I'm only in high school, but I still understand that every relationship I have isn't going to last forever, but I am going to take things that I'm going to use whenever I get married with my wife, and, you know,
apply that.
Probably already do. I mean, it can't really be dismissed, even though he's only in high school. Mm-hmm. You'll take experiences that you had in like the eighth grade or whatever with girls, and mm-hmm. you will definitely apply them to girls you're hanging out with, you know, in high school for mm-hmm. sure, right?
Yeah, because I mean, that's how it is. Like, I had a horrible relationship, and I learned that, you know, you don't really take things for what they aren't. You know, you grow from that, and I mean, that's what we do as people. We all start at a base, and then we grow from there.
You're very wise. You're wise beyond your years, Colin. Thank you for calling. Here is Nicole. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. I think that relationship IQ depends on each individual person, because some people will take things from relationships and learn from them and become a better person and know how to deal the next situation better. But not everybody does that. Some people mm-hmm. get hurt and jaded, and their relationship IQ drops from that experience.
Serious. Mm-hmm. I know some that are in relationships like now with the exact same person they just broke up with like 6 months ago, and it seems to me like they've learned absolutely nothing.
Because they picked the same type of person.
Same mistakes over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting concept. I had never heard the term relationship IQ, mm-hmm. and whether that could improve or stay the same, or if your IQ is your IQ and that's just who you are or what.
I think it also it stays the same with the people that end up in the relationship, but they complain and break up and then go back to the same person and then complain and break up and go back to the same person. That's not like using what you just learned.
Yeah, they're not growing.
Relationship IQ.
Yeah. Oop.
Gary Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.